Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here.
Hello out there in podcast land. Welcome to the show, and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, the Messenger Edition. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge, and this is Nurse Carmen. And now we'll have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and once again, thank you for tuning in or downloading this podcast. We are coming to you tonight just to give you another way to let you know that some of the things in which you've been told in reference to God is not from God, it is from man. And we need to stop and examine what it is that we're doing with our lives to please man and not God. So we were just going to have a little conversation today. We're going to discuss some things today just to give you something to think about, something that may go against what it is that you've read most of your life and your mom and your dad and your friends have gotten you to buy into. But I'm asking that you just take this time and search within yourself and ask the spirit that dwells within you to give you understanding and guidance so that you may wake up from the unconscious state of walking around living a life that other people have chosen for you and not the life that God had planned. We must understand that we are all part of the body of God. We have to understand that this temple that we call a body, this body is just something that houses the Spirit of God. We have to understand that we shall never die. I know I'm throwing a lot of things at you right now, but I'm throwing them at you just so that you can take the time, pick whatever one you want, just to talk to God about. Have that private conversation with God. Religion teaches you that you must have a personal relationship, and that is true. You must have that personal relationship because it is you that you must have that personal relationship with. As you talk to yourself, you will get an answer. And don't be alarmed if that answer is different from what you've come to believe, because I'm here to tell you tonight that a lot of what we believe just isn't so. As we started back our podcast last Thursday, my co-producer brought up something that he heard regarding Enoch. Enoch. I didn't forget about that, my brother. I just wanted to come back to you with a little bit more information. Okay. Enoch, they said that Enoch never died, that Enoch walked straight into heaven. And that Enoch became the voice of God, the communicator of God. Now, I just want you to think about that. This is stuff that they want us to believe, that Enoch became the voice of God, the communicator of God. So when Moses and all of these other people thought that they were talking to God, they were actually listening to Enoch speak for God, because for some reason or another, God can't speak to nobody. He's got to do it through Enoch, who was a man here on earth that just kept walking and walked right up into heaven. Now, I come to tell you, he walked right up into heaven, but what we have to understand, and this is something that we've got to be able to open our minds and our hearts to receive. Heaven is not a place. Heaven is a state of mind, a state of being. That's what heaven is. And if it was possible for Enoch to walk up into heaven, why was it not possible for Jesus to walk right down from heaven? Jesus had to be born, they had to prepare a body for him. Now it's pretty deep, and I want us to understand that. Jesus, who is, as they want you to believe, the Son of God, and the story goes that what happened was God was so frustrated with the way of the world that he was ready to destroy it because he found no one worthy.
You see, now, my brother Messenger, you see, as we just discussed that, I have to say, God created all of this. But yet he found, the Spirit found nothing worthy that the Spirit created. I mean, you know, so before we begin to go too deep into the story, there's little stops that we have to make so that you prepare yourself for the rest of the story. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when I sit here and try to tell you that the Creator created this, and he was so frustrated with what he created, rather than just make it go away and start fresh, he said, we're going to spend eternity trying to fix what I could not get right. Is that what I'm to believe?
I thank you, Brother Co-Producer, because that's exactly where I was going. That's exactly where I was going with that. He had to search. The God that knows everything had to search. He didn't. Did he have to search for Mary? Or did he just flip a coin? Oops, I'm sorry. He didn't have a coin. Did he just flip Jesus and said, "Okay, this is going to be your mother"? Yeah. So the point that I'm making, and I'm kind of making light of it because it's important for us if we stop and really look at the context and look at what it is that they're really wanting you to believe. Now, if they want you to use this as an example, then I'm okay with it because it doesn't make sense, but at least you know it's not actuality. But for God to have created this, and when he created this, he said all was good. So I need for people to understand that this God that we're talking about, if he said that all was good, it was good. And as bad as we may think, or as powerful or whatever it is that we may think we are, we cannot change what God has made good to bad. We might see it as bad, but that does not make it bad. And that's the same thing as far as what goes on in our lives. A lot of things we look at and we call it bad. And I'm here to tell you that it's not bad. It's just not the outcome that you expected. And even though it's not the outcome that you expected, it is still something that helped mold you to be who you are today, or who you're going to be tomorrow. So if we learn how to stop looking at everything we do as bad, good and bad, then we'll be able to move on a little better. Is it is it safe to say that hot is better than cold? Up is better than down?
Depends on who you ask.
Yes, it depends on who you ask and how they see it. But just because
that's
they see it like that does not make it so.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that have gone on in our life that we've allowed to get us down and to have us moping and stuff like that is because we've labeled it as bad.
That's
but,
right. That's right.
But if we stop right now and look over the majority of what we call bad that have gone on in our lives and look at it now, we will come to see that it's not bad. It wasn't bad. It wasn't what we expected.
That's right.
We got a new job. We thought the job was all that. But once we got there and realized it wasn't what we expected, that doesn't make the job bad. It just makes the job not the one for you. But we can't label it as bad. But that's what we have a tendency to do. And because we label things bad, we have a tendency to let that play out as a bad experience. When it wasn't. How many of us have had a negative experience that we just turned around and made it a good experience?
I have many times.
How many of us went into the kitchen to make a dish and it didn't turn out the way we wanted, but then come to find out it was just as good?
That's right. Many times.
But we've already had labeled it bad because it didn't turn out the way we thought it was going to turn out. So that's an example of how we're constantly making things bad. That's not really bad. It's just not what we expected. So that doesn't make it bad. And if we're able to take a look and start seeing things differently, if we can start seeing things differently, then we'll also see our lives differently. Because a lot of us, we walk around moping and this and that because it's not this. My life isn't this. My life isn't that. But we have the power to change whatever it is that we don't like. And we've all been through there. We've all had that experience in life where something was going the way we didn't really like it, and we changed it.
That's right. Amen.
And I can tell you this because I've done this myself and I know what it is that I speak of. How many times have we woke up and already called it a bad day? And then throughout the day, you've made it a good day.
Many times. Yep. It's happened.
But this is the power that we have, but we won't use it because we're basing it upon things that we've been told from the Bible, from the scribes, from the different religions. We've come to believe this, and we think that we have some devil that is making things bad for us.
Mm.
And so we're tuned into that word bad, and we're seeing things other than what they truly are. And this is why God does not truly speak to us in the word form. That Bible, that word that they talk about so much, this is why God doesn't really speak to us, because it's so easy to misinterpret it. But he speaks to you in feelings. And we've all been able to witness the fact that one point in time we said, I had the feeling that I shouldn't have done that. Something inside me just told me that wasn't so.
Mm-hmm.
And that same something inside is what I'm asking you tonight to listen to as we present these different scenarios to you to see if there are of God. Now, some of us might not want to let go of that belief. And the truth be told, it doesn't matter. Because where you're trying to get, No matter how hard you try or no matter how bad you think you may be, you're going to get there. You cannot get anywhere else. Why? Because there is nowhere else to go. But as long as we walk around here thinking that, as they say, we're going to get to heaven where the streets are paved with gold, then, you know, then we're living this life, and I don't even know the proper terminology for it, but we're going, that's not what heaven is. That's not what the afterlife is about. And because there are different realms that life consists of, it makes it totally impossible for Enoch to walk into heaven. Because the place that they call heaven, or in the presence per se of the spirit, because it is just that, a spirit. And if it is a spirit, there is no body there. And if you want to use the analogy of Jesus, this is why they had to prepare a body for him. But just so that you know, they prepared a body for each and every one of us. But that's just too good. It's hard. It's amazing how it's so hard for us to understand or accept the fact that we just are part of an outstanding, tremendous God.
Amen.
That loves us more than what we can imagine. Even though we walk around here daily talking about God loves me and he's never gonna forget me and he'll never leave me. We walk around and we're saying that, but then we still say, but he got a temper, that he's petty, that he's jealous. You guys watch LeBron James. LeBron James ain't got no issues with nobody on the basketball court. Why? Because he know he the best.
Mm.
He ain't got no issues with nobody. He looked like none of that stuff concerns him.
That's right.
Because when you know, this other stuff doesn't bother you.
All right, now.
Now, we're talking about LeBron James. Now, let's take that up to the spirit. The spirit that created wood is getting jealous because you silly enough to think that if you talk to wood, you made that your God. Now, you're going to get mad. I'm mad. I'm the spirit. I'm mad because you've got no better sense but to talk to a piece of wood. Now, I'm jealous. You love that wood more than me. Just think about that. What they want us to believe of God. God, the same God that gave you free will. But truthfully, if you really examine it, it's not free. It's only free if you do just as it's written in the book. And I'm not going to say just as God says, but as it's written in the book. And if we examine our lives and the things that are going on, a lot of things that are written in the book differs than from what it is that life is all about and which God has given us. How many people do you know on a daily basis go to church every Sunday and Wednesday, but you don't really see any difference in that person, do you?
Right.
They can go to church, shout and all that stuff, and you can get them in the parking lot and they'll talk about everybody that was in church that Sunday. Or they'll talk about what the preacher didn't do or what the preacher did do. The preacher preached a good sermon. The preacher preached a bad sermon. Where is the difference? But they do it Sunday in or Sunday out. Hallelujah. Give all their money. Make all the requirements of religion. But there is no real change. Now, they may talk it. But as they say, they're not walking it. And this where we have to make that difference at. We don't have to go to church, but we can still let our light shine because that light is within each and every one of us. It says right there in that good book that they refuse, they're willing to kill you over. They're willing to kill you over. They're willing to disown you. They're willing to not allow you to be who you are. And if you decide to be who it is that God would have you to be, they don't want to have anything to do with you. Where is the Christ-like in that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for us to take notice of this. There are certain religions, if you're homosexual, they don't want to have anything to do with you. God created you. And even if, because I don't know, but even if you just decided you wanted to be of the opposite sex, that is your choice. God gave you free will to be and do whatever it is that you think will make you the better you. It is just that simple, and it's what you think, not what people have written 5 million years ago, 500,000 years ago. And if you read any of the quote-unquote teachings that they put in there of Jesus, he never had issues with any of this stuff. A woman they brought her before him for adultery. And he said to her, "Woman, if your soul, if your own soul don't condemn you, neither do I."
That's right.
So he was letting us know that it is within us. And this sin, there is no such thing as sin. This is just a label. This is something that they have given to us to make us feel guilty. God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not in any way whatsoever made it for us to be afraid. Why should we be afraid when it is the God that rules everything that resides within us? What is there for us to be afraid of? He's told us that no weapon formed against us will prosper. God has no respected person. And I just want you to know, I'm reading from their book. These are quotes from their book. And what they would have you to believe is, okay, yeah, these are quotes, but there's more to it. No, God made it as simple as possible. It is just that we are adding stuff to it. We are adding stuff to it so that we can have dominion over each and every one of us. And we have to understand, God gave us dominion. He didn't give us dominance. But we've gotten that twisted. We think that we are more than what we really are when it comes to one another. And I've got to tell you, there is no difference between Jesus and me. There is no difference between the president and you. It is just that position that he holds. But as a person, there is no difference. And what
just to interject a second, when you talk about there is no sin, whenever I hear people say, and again, I don't know if it's just cliche-ish use of words, but when I hear people say that Jesus died for our sins, I immediately follow that up with, if Jesus died for our sins, then why is there still sin? It would kind of defeat the purpose of you telling me what he died for. And usually it ends up with, you know, now we have to go back to, okay, I'm not going to be allowed to think intellectually. It's just a case of that's what they said and that's what it is. But if Jesus hung on the cross for the remission of all sins, he died for our sins, then there should be no such thing as sin. Unless He died for the sins up to the point which he died, and then, you know, sin continued. It was, you know, we wiped it clean, and then we continued anew. So again, I, in a lot of conversations, I ask people to explain that to me, and then it usually comes out as, well, he died so that you have a right to be forgiven. Really?
Right.
I mean, right. But we still hold on to sin in one breath, that there is sin, that's a sin, this is a sin. But remember, Jesus died for your sin.
Right.
So that's a paradoxical state of being.
Amen. Yes,
but
it is.
You want me to believe that? I just can't anymore.
Well, that's not a paradoxical state of being. That's just some BS.
Mm-hmm.
He died for your sin. No, he died because they didn't like him, because he was changing things. That's why he died. Wasn't it the Jewish rabbis and stuff that said, let the thief go, but crucify him? They didn't say for the sins. They just wanted to get rid of him.
And we go back to the root cause. They wanted to get rid of him, again, as the story goes, because he was cutting into their profits.
Yes.
He was cutting into their profits, man.
Truth be told, that's what it was. He was changing. He told them the things in which you are having the people to do, you can't even do. He said the way is so simple that a fool cannot err. This is what Jesus said. The way is so simple that a fool cannot err. So that leads me to believe that nothing, whoever it is we call the most ignorant person, that person can't go wrong. And you know why that person can't go wrong? Because there is nothing to go wrong from.
Okay.
Your job is to try to be each day to be the best you, glorifying the spirit that dwells in you. That is all that he asked. That is what your job is. Your job is to allow God in you to experience life. He knows it, but he experiences it through you. And any and everything that you do is an experience for him. And this is how we have to start seeing it and stop seeing it as, if I wear white after New Year's, I'm doing something wrong. Just, you know, and I use that as a funny, just sort of to understand how so it's so easy for us to accept what it is that other people want from us, from our lives. Now, somebody going to wake up one day and say, you know what? It's okay to wear white after whatever day that is, Labor Day, whatever. And then all of a sudden, it's going to become a fad. But all that time, we considered it taboo. Because we're constantly living our lives trying to please everyone else. And if you're living your life trying to please everyone else, are you really living your life? We're so set on God, set up this marriage thing. This is not so. God set up for you to live your life to the best, whatever it is for you. Now, if you find a soulmate per se, then that's fine. But it was not set up with this covenant and stuff as far as, do you take this man? This is all man-made stuff. I thank you. This is good. I might have to start extending this because it's been a while, and I want a lot of stuff for us to get back to. Brother co-producer, there you go. I do thank everybody for tuning in tonight, and I promise I'm not missing any more nights, because this is getting where we've got to be able to make a difference. Now, if we can't touch anybody else's life, we've got to let our light shine so that people can see the God in us, my co-producer.
Yeah, as always, we thank you for making Haj the Haj, the Messenger, your Sunday night podcast. Again, a different type of word, a different type of leadership, but I promise you it's not cultish. This is just natural. This is a voice encouraging you to look inside of you for everything that you've been looking for in your life, and you will find that there's no reason to belong or to commit to a regimented worship. Just breathing, walking to and from will be all the worship you need to do. Have a nice evening, and again, we'll talk to you Thursday night at 9 o'clock. The Creator bless.
Good night, everyone.